Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, the more famouser, Alec Medford. And in about 20 minutes... we are going to talk more about Victory Plus, but as Corey said, you can still listen to all of the games for free right here on your home of the Texas Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. We're going to get into more of the specifics about Victory Plus again in about 20 minutes. But the last time, Mike, we planned to do this, Mike McCarthy was out as the Cowboys head coach. So we didn't get to do our Mavericks and Stars super segment. And the Mavericks might not be deserving of being in a super segment today.
They got super blown out.
Yes, they did. Go ahead and give me cut number one. We'll start the Mavs and Stars super segment with the question, is this the worst or at least one of the worst Mavericks games of the year?
They surround Jokic. Ball gets tipped. Murray, he's in the lab. Jamal Murray cannot be stopped.
I need to go back and look because the 5-7 start, I'm going to guess one of those seven losses
was felt this bad.
I mean, I know it was a close game. I thought when Luka quit playing basketball and let the Utah Jazz win in Utah, that was pretty disgusting to me.
Yeah.
But this was from opening tip a blowout. And so like that's the tough part.
So like the one I thought about was the Christmas game against Minnesota. At least you came most of the way back. Like, I know you still lost, but at least you, like, made your push. It didn't really feel like there was a real push in this game. You got owned from the beginning, which I'm a little surprised since Kyrie came back. I'm not saying that Kyrie alone fixes all your problems, but I'm a little surprised that they were getting worked just about from the opening tip.
Corey, I don't know if you heard this, but I heard it on the morning show. Jason Kidd in his... or maybe I was watching YouTube this morning too. Jason Kidd in his post-game press conference said, we were playing well as a team. We can't rely on just our superstars because Kyrie came back. They were like, Kyrie's back now. We just all watch and he's just going to
change our game.
So he's like, he felt like the other guys playing around Kyrie decided, Kyrie's back. We don't have to try as hard.
I understand the concept of that. I totally get it. Because, look, whenever Kevin's out, what do? We get very serious. We have really good quality radio.
What?
Kevin comes back.
That
it's
feels like a good
finally,
thing.
Somebody can be serious around here. But, like, that part of it, it does take a second to kind of get back into the groove of things, I think, sometimes. So maybe that's something that needs to happen. But, yeah, they need to be active. Everybody has to be active on the court and on the floor for that team to be good. I wanted to present this to you, Mike, and Kevin, if you like. Iztok Franco, who I really like, I really enjoy what he does. He said, I mentioned something that's been on my mind this season, the Mavs having four other guards who are negative defenders, Dinwiddie, Hardy, Williams, Gortman, on the roster with Luka, Kyrie, and Klay. It's puzzling, but here's the quote. The Mavericks have filled those spots, the end of the roster spots, and that's crucial. They filled them with a surplus of guards who have a similar mold, undersized, lacking defensive pressure, such as Dinwiddie, Williams, Gortman. For some of those spots, having defensive-minded guards like Chris Dunn or Dennis Smith Jr. to be able to mix into it, He said, you know, I've been thinking about this for a minute, and then I thought, am I being too aggressive with this thought? And then Jamal Murray goes out and drops 42. So maybe I'm right about this. When you get deeper down, what are you going to do? Do you have any guys that can be defenders in that realm?
So quick note, since they're putting out a release about it, that we have Victory Plus for the season for the Rangers is going to be $100. All right? We're going to get more into that in about 15 minutes.
There is a lot more to this.
Yes, about $100. So that was really disappointing from the Mavericks standpoint, just because I go back to that they should have won. Nobody can change my mind. They should have won the last Nuggets game. So
they only lost the final 15 minutes, 33-12.
That's it.
So
yeah, they only had an 18-point lead with 15 minutes to go and got blown out at the end of the game.
Yeah, that's impossible to keep that big of a lead.
It's tough to close the game.
When like they say, you probably need to be up by 30 with 15 minutes to go to hold on.
I don't know if I'm familiar. Yeah,
and I think they might have still lost.
That saying, but it's a loss at a time when I understand why the losses are piling up. But
yeah.
I'm just not going to be of the opinion that you can be wherever in the playoff seeding and make a good run at it. I understand why people think that, because you saw something very similar to that. But when you're like teetering into falling into the play-in version of the playoffs and you're halfway through the season, that causes me concern, especially because we still don't know for sure Luka's back on this date.
If you're including the Christmas Day game where Luka played some, but not much, they're 3-8 from Christmas
on. They've been so good without Luka.
I said this, I'll say it again. I think they're going to be somewhere between the 6 and 11 seed. This is what I thought after Christmas, especially then when Kyrie has the back situation that now he's dealing with. I think when you get to the All-Star break, you could be completely out of the playoffs. I'm not saying you're not going to make the playoffs, but I think you could find yourself in the 11 seed out of the All-Star break and battling back. I think that's extreme. I think they'll be probably somewhere in the play-in situation, 7 through 10, with not much separation to get back to 4 or 5. But I think at this point, with the injuries that they've dealt with and probably the injuries they are going to deal with, I think best case scenario for this Mavs team is to get to the 4 seed, and probably won't accomplish that this year because of the injuries. I love this team if healthy. But they're not healthy. They're not going to be healthy anytime soon. January 25th is supposedly the date they reevaluate Luka to see when he could come back.
Yeah, and the more people have talked to about that, it does sound like Mike's theory is correct. So, and Mike just threw that out as a guess, but that whole reevaluation part of it really could set it back. And that, Kevin, will mean that you won't be settling things, squaring things away heading into the playoffs. I mean, it'll mean you're kind of trying to ramp up into the playoffs, and hopefully
that's probably like a 6 or like a 7, hopefully 7 or 8, because at least you get a home court advantage game in the play-in.
That being said, they know the style Luka plays with, so they know what to expect whenever he shows back up on the court, and I feel like they kind of know their roles whenever he gets there and how this thing functions. But it's just until then, how much fun are we going to have? And then whenever that happens, are they going to be having fun? Because they looked like they were having fun to start this season. And that makes a season light. That makes a season you able to get through. And right now it's going to be a grind for a minute.
Well, going into Christmas, they were playing great.
Yeah.
They were playing great as a team. You felt good about it. But unfortunately, Luka going down, Derek Lively's in and out of the lineup all times because of his body structure right now at his age. And then you just have other guys here and there out, and it is what it is. There's not much they can do except, like Jason Kidd said, you have to almost play all of these games, which is unrealistic in today's world, but you have to play them all like it's game 7 of the NBA Finals to win these games, because you're limited in your talent.
And then by the time you get to the playoffs, you'll be done.
Right.
Like, you'll get smoked because you got nowhere else to go.
Right. The league is, you play at 70% now, and you play about 70% of the time in the 82 games. And the Mavericks, especially probably after the All-Star break, are going to have to play every game with hopefully a healthy lineup, are going to have to do a 16-2 run. They're going to have to do what they did last year and finish the year going something in their last 20 games, something like 16-4, 18-2. To get into a decent spot.
Now, I do have positive news as part of the Mavs and Stars Super segment. Give me cut number 3. Welcome back to Logan Stankoven.
Steal with a shot. Another rebound. Score! On the doorstep, Logan Stankoven! The monkey can exit stage left.
Because it was on his back from not scoring for 1,000 years.
Do you know how long it had been since he scored a goal?
Was it like 25 games or something?
It had been 2 months.
Is that... Is that a long time?
Yes.
In hockey years?
Yes.
Was he trying to score?
Yes.
That's a good question.
I mean, because if he wasn't trying to score, we're all right.
Was he available? Was he healthy?
I guess to be fair, 2 months is not a long time if like you just won the Stanley Cup and they started the regular season early and that was the 2 months. Like you just didn't score. But like he's been out there. It has been 2 months since Stankoven scored a goal. And he had 2 goals in this win. And the reason why this was a big win, well, first of all, there's a variety of reasons. As we've talked about, every 2 points you can add to the board in the Central Division is important. But also, you won another road game, which we talked about. That has not been the Stars' forte this year. However, 5 games on the East Coast, 4 wins, 8 out of 10 points. So thumbs up to that. Also, Toronto is a good team. You've been kicking around the clunker NHL teams, which there's nothing wrong with that either. But Toronto is an excellent team. And you went there into their building, got the 2 points. Boom. You love to see it.
Absolutely. Stankoven, I feel like Stanky is a nickname, but Logan, right? Logan. If you go back and look, there was a comic book with the Wolverine, and he was a short fella. All right, all I'm saying is, do we consider him the Wolverine at some point?
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If he goes on a tear, if he goes on one of those...
Does he need a change of his facial hair?
Maybe grow... Maybe on his helmet, put those little wings or whatever. Yeah. Just for the big moments, you know, just for the big fight scenes. I love the guy. I'm glad he got that. That probably does break a... Mike, whenever you're having a slump like that, whenever those guys have a slump like that, something like this happens, they usually break out of it, like in like a hitting spree, and they're like, okay, now I've found it. You feel pretty you get a little confidence back, or does it kind of build?
I think that, obviously, going into the sport I cover the most, you had Corey Seager start off really slow last year because of injury, and then when he seemed to finally his body recover from the off-season surgery, he then took off. I think of the first 2 months of Wyatt Langford. Now, it's the first time he played Major League Baseball and had very little minor league experience.
And Logan's young. Yeah, very young.
But then he won Rookie of the Month. Like, he took off and won Rookie. It was like, oh, no. Like, maybe we shouldn't have started Langford in the major leagues. Oh, no. And then all of a sudden, you know, I do think what helped, and I'm not saying this was good, Evan Carter getting hurt and Langford playing in the field helped his development as an overall player. But I'm going to... To get one veteran, possible future Hall of Famer in Corey Seager, and then one guy starting off his career last year that got off to slow starts. And yes, I think that it can now start something where you just feel like, okay, I'm not just fighting for that goal.
Yes. And I think the fact that he scored again in the same game maybe kind of lends credence to that. Now, like, we'll have to wait. for future games to see if that's the way it plays out.
How long do we have to wait, Kevin, for future games to see if it plays out?
Let's say 5 more games. Is that acceptable?
When's the next game? Can we just...
It's tomorrow.
Okay, then we have to wait until tomorrow to start seeing, Kevin.
Okay.
And then you know what? You're right. I'm sorry about that.
That's fair.
I was asking a different question. That was miscommunication on my part early in the show. You know what? We can pick up where we left off later.
How good do you think, because he got the win last night, how good do you think that Jake Oettinger is in the hierarchy of NHL goaltending? Like, I like him a lot. I think we all think like, oh yeah, he's really good.
He's in the top 10.
Okay, top 10. So.
I couldn't even name a goalie better than him.
I believe him.
Okay, let me ask you this. If I said the name Joe Puck, do you think that's a real goalie?
I don't think it is.
Okay, it's not. If I said Igor Shesterkin.
That sounds like a hockey guy.
Okay, all right. Okay, if I said Igor Shaputskin.
No.
Okay, okay. I just wanted to check. I just wanted to check.
If you're adding the name Puck in there,
okay,
there's a good
chance. You're probably out. All right, so The Athletic... They interviewed all the folks across the league and some NHL coaches and former goalie coaches to kind of break down. Igor Shesterkin leads the way. He is the goalie for the New York Rangers. So the top five has, as Mike, I believe, would describe it, a lot of hockey names. And these are the Vezina caliber goalies. So these are the top of the top. But in the next group, that's the tier two, that's the high-end starter group, Jake Oettinger is second on that list.
Okay.
So that would essentially put him as like, he is ranked as the 7th goaltender in the NHL, which I think is probably a fair spot to put him.
NHL's fantasy hockey staff has him listed as 5th.
Okay.
Behind Connor Hellebuck.
Yep.
Andre Vasilevskiy.
Okay.
Jacob Markstrom and Andre Vasilevskiy.
Do you remember Andre Vasilevskiy?
No.
He's the goalie for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Okay.
That we all hated in the Stanley
Cup. Because they beat us in the COVID.
Yes. They beat us in the COVID.
They won the COVID Cup.
Essentially, that is what happened. But he's a damn good goalie, too. So, yeah. 5 there. 7 here. That feels...
Somewhere in the top 10.
Yeah.
It's kind of where I put it. I don't think... I honestly, Kevin, wouldn't probably put him below 7. But I felt top 10 area was the best place. Because
yeah.
I don't think he's a top 3. But he's somewhere between 3 and 7 for me.
Okay. I think that is fair.
Again, I've said this time and time again. In the playoffs, I need one of those magic moments. And that's when you'll get the cup. He's really, really good. He's really, really solid. But if you get a magic moment where you're like, dude, he was giving up 0.92 the entire playoffs, you're feeling like, wow, that was special.
And I like the job that DeSmith has done in spelling him. So hopefully he can be a little bit more rested.
Spelling Oettinger is definitely a difficult.
Going into... That is a very clever thing.
You're welcome.
That you just said. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. All right, coming up next, Victory Plus. Let's explain what's happening, get your immediate thoughts, and yes, we have a price point. Let's get into all of it next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and now's the time we're going to talk about Victory Plus. And a lot of people last night on social media had a whole lot of feelings about this. Let me see if I can recap the way the roller coaster ride felt like for me, for a lot of people on social media. Oh my God, the Rangers are going to be on Victory Plus. This is awesome. A couple minutes later. Oh my God, they're going to charge to be on Victory Plus. The Rangers are the worst people in the world. Like, it did feel kind of like a roller coaster. So here's what we know as of now, and we want to get y'all's feedback. Like, how are you feeling about this? Franklin, injury attorney text line, 877-881-1053, as well as the Twitch, as well as the YouTube. The Rangers are going to be on Victory Plus. The price for the season-long package per the Rangers' own release is going to be $100 for the season. Now, what they said to go along with that, it will give access to a full season of Rangers baseball, including select training, spring training games in March, and they're going to give viewers the opportunity to win prizes, blah, 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 blah. All that stuff is great, and I'm not saying that stuff doesn't matter, but immediately I feel like most fans are, can I watch my team and how much is it going to cost? It's going to cost you $100 if you want to sign up for Victory Plus and you're in the market. If you're out of market, I followed where the Rangers told me to go. Texas Rangers games are still going to be available to some fans outside the home territory on MLB.tv and select additional cable and satellite providers. Evan Grant has an article out there where he repeatedly says this is the first step.
Games may be available at no subscription cost via some regular cable or satellite providers, but which are not clear yet. So there may be some options, but at the moment, that's not clear. The first step is Victory Plus.
And so on the one hand, maybe every single person listening who still has cable will find out it'll be available on their cable system. Yeah. They'll be like, oh, great. That's awesome. I don't know that right now. So we're just going to go off the information that we know. And I see the pros and cons about it. On the one hand, I understand that people are pumped because maybe they didn't have the opportunity they felt to watch Rangers baseball. Well, there it is. Now you can get it for $100 for the season. So that's the pro. The con is, the obvious con is, you're going on the exact same app where another Metroplex team is, and they do it for free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I understand how that could rub a lot of people the wrong way.
Yeah, no, it definitely, initially, it makes me go, why, what's different and special about you? Now, Kevin, we broke down last year sometime in November, the money.
Yes.
And baseball relies very heavily on regional sports TV. So that's why the Rangers are trying to make that up. That does, you know, that's the price of, do you want Kirby Yates? You know, that's the price of these things. That's the way that the owner looks at it when he's doing his balance sheets. For me, regular fan guy that just grew up with HSN, is that what it was?
HSE.
HSE, it had those types of things. I paid for it. My dad paid for it. I just didn't think anything of it because my dad was paying for it, and I thought I was just getting Nickelodeon. That's what I was paying for. But I was realizing that I was also getting that at the same time. And it is frustrating, though, Kevin, for people like me, my dad, my grandfathers that are looking at it going, where do I find this one tonight?
Like, yeah.
It's just frustrating to have to go search for it whenever it's just so easy to turn on 105.3 The Fan and know exactly where something's going to be.
Look, and I do want to point that out there. I realize how self-serving it is, but it is a fact. You can get all the games free here, right here on 105.3 The Fan. I want to know more about the people who say, I miss when baseball was free. Like, when are you talking about?
Yeah, I'd love to know that too.
Because are we talking about when the games were on like 33 or 27, like 25 years ago? If that's the case, like, rock on. Or as I told Corey, I also wish all of my cards were worth what they said they were still worth in the Beckett. Like, it's just, that's not the case anymore. You have to move on. And if you say, well, it was free when it was on Bally, but not really.
Yeah, you definitely because, had to pay. Yeah, that was not a Channel 4. That exactly. Wasn't Fox 4 or you had NBC.
You had to subscribe to it. And I understand, football. There's a lot of places that you can get football for free. But even now, you've seen, you got the Peacock exclusive wild card game. Last year, I might have those backwards. The Yahoo exclusive wild card game. I'm just saying, for people who want to watch all of the games for free, I want to know when the last time was that you could really do that, because I think people have a distorted idea that was like 5 years ago. That's not the case at all.
Time. Yeah, it's been a very long time.
And I do know this, Corey, what you said, and I don't know the NHL rules. I'm 99.9% sure. I will leave out a 0.1%. You cannot put this on an app and have it for free. MLB will not allow it.
Interesting.
Now, I don't know. I have no clue about this. I have no clue what you have to charge, like a minimum amount that you have to charge. But MLB, I'm 99% sure, would not allow the Rangers to put this on Victory Plus the way the Stars do, because there's different rules for MLB teams versus NHL teams.
I wonder if MLB understands like how that can affect people negatively.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know the answer to any of that. I will say, though, if you paid a lot of money last year to watch the Rangers, the product you got didn't live up. Like, man, the announcing was fantastic. I'll say that, but the on-field product was just not exactly what you were hoping for, because you were, most nights you were like, are we going to score any runs today? And then they gave us a run. You know, they gave us a couple of them, but that's another thing that factors into this. Which team are we getting? Are we getting just to say, this is Bruce Bochy's off year, so or on year based on things, but am I going to get a good product for it too? Or am I going to go, man, am I wasting $100 this year?
And that's two questions that come up. So this I don't know. I'm gonna go try and find out the answer to this. Will the Rangers games be geo-fenced? I travel all over the country. Can't watch the Stars when I'm on the road. I would assume yes, but to be fair, I haven't sought out that answer. So I'm going to go check on that. And then somebody asked, will it include all the games, including national games? Specifically on the Rangers' own press release, it says for regional games. So I'm assuming once they go for a national game on Apple or whatever, that's not going to be part of this, all right? I'm just passing that along. The other thing that's a really tough look just today.
Well, I also tell you this, I'm 99% sure about that, because when the Rangers are on Apple TV or the Fox game of
you're
the
not
week,
on.
Yeah, we don't broadcast
yeah. Okay,
it.
So there's a good answer to that. Here's the other way I know, I just think last night and this morning, it hurts for Rangers fans, or it's a bad look specifically for the Rangers. You can essentially, depending on how bad you want it and all of that and how much technology you're willing to engage in, you can watch most of the Mavs for free, most of the Cowboys for free, and most of the Stars for free. And like, that's just a tough sell. I love the Rangers and I get it because of the economics of baseball. That's a tough sell to some people in the Metroplex when you're like, hey, the Mavs figure out a way to run a lot of their games on 29 and you know, the rest are on cable. Hey, I can see most of my NFL games, though not all, on free TV. Hey, I can watch the Stars free on the Victory Plus app. So there's two things about that. First of all, the Victory Plus app is not as accessible as you should think mm-hmm. or you would think it would be at this point. And secondly, you can get them for free. With the Rangers, it's $100. I understand if people are upset about that.
And you know what? If you are, keep speaking out. Keep, you know, that is the freedom of this capitalistic market, Kevin, is if you keep speaking out about it and you have a thought about it, think about down the road where it could be, you know, what it is now, what it could be later, what they might decide is the best way to deliver this to you.
Can I just say, when we say down the road, and we talked about this as soon as the Stars got on Victory Plus, I don't think the Stars are going to stay free on Victory Plus, because
I think about 7 years from now, you'll start seeing something interesting.
They were one of the products that like was part of the launch of Victory Plus. I know Victory Plus has the Ducks and some other things, but like, I don't think the Stars are going to stay free. You've seen more and more of a movement of NFL specifically being on streaming sites, which is not free. So I also want to live in the world where I can access all sports for free. It's not going to happen.
I won't say the Mavericks were free, but they were. It cost me $30 to buy an antenna off of Amazon. Yes. So, I mean, it wasn't perfectly free for me. I had to get channel 29 in my house. I had to buy a $30 antenna, which works on one television. I cannot watch it in the back room and I cannot watch it upstairs. I could pay another $30 and buy another antenna.
Yeah.
Or I can just keep unplugging the antenna, take it up, plug it in. Like, I can do that. So there are ways that I don't need another antenna. But if I was like, I'm going to go upstairs and watch the rest in bed, I do have to unplug the antenna, which it's not the hardest thing in the world to do.
Sure.
But if we're looking for super convenience and totally free, and I'm not trying to, I get it. I'm not trying to defend this. If you're upset, I understand why you're upset. And like Evan Grant said, I would say be patient with this.
Yeah. I see, for me,
that could change a lot. I don't know.
For me with the Mavericks, Kevin, it's on Fubo. And so I have it accessible on my phone, on my laptop. With Victory Plus, I can only watch on my laptop or phone, and I can't like screen share to the TV because it's just a black screen because it's encrypted. So I can plug my laptop in. But that's, again, like Mike was saying, that's convenience. And I kind of want convenience. That's what I'm paying for,
and
right?
I didn't know this, but reading through when Evan Grant posted this on Twitter X, a lot of people said, that are Stars fans. The thing about Victory Plus is you can't, if you have a Samsung TV, I believe it is, or there's certain TVs, there's literally certain TVs that will not allow you to download the Victory Plus app and just have it on your television.
Because Evan Grant was like, not.
Yeah, so I think there's certain televisions that will not allow you to just download Victory Plus as an app, which means you do have to screen share it with your computer or your television and with your phone.
I want to throw this out there. For the 903, if they want to grow the sport and initiate more interest, they'd make it free. Let's make this very clear. Everybody wants to grow their sport and initiate more interest while they're still making money. Yeah. If that's the option, grow your sport and initiate interest, or keep the status quo and make S tons more money, you're going to pick the money.
Kevin, I have two interesting notes of news. I don't know that it's breaking news like the Mike McCarthy news.
Do we hire him back?
No. The Cowboys have interest in and are expected to interview former Jets coach Robert Saleh for the vacant head coach position.
Okay.
If I'm the Cowboys, that dude coached for the Niners and they whooped your ass a bunch of times.
Right.
What was it that they were doing better than we could do?
Right.
And that's where I'm like really diving in with him is, how do I get over that? They're a physical team. How do I get over that? How do I become that kind of team? I would treat that as a very real interview. There's no way I would look at it any differently. And it does look like Quinn Ewers is declaring for the draft in the NFL.
And that's
the NFL draft.
That's interesting. I get why he's going that direction. Maybe he hears different stuff about his valuation. I think with the NIL landscape, I think he could back up the money truck to go somewhere.
I also wonder, when Matt Leinart decided to go back to USC, of course you go back to USC for a fourth year. You're the king of the campus there.
Yeah.
Like, it's an absolute blast. You get to live your last year in college there before you have to go to work. And he was
getting six figures.
Yeah, and for him.
Under the table. It wasn't legal.
But for Ewers, now you got to go to another campus where you were at Texas, dude. You were kind of the guy, and then some other dude took over, and you're not quite that guy anymore. So this is just next step, in my opinion, for him. I understand what you're saying. You can make a little bit more money, but that king of the campus thing isn't there anymore. And being king at Texas probably has a lot of perks to it.
And look, there could be multiple teams that have told his agent or whoever, we see you as a second rounder. And if that's the case, then this makes a lot of sense.
And all it takes is one team.
Exactly.
That's the thing is, 31 other teams probably had Tim Tebow as a third or fourth round pick. Didn't matter. The Denver Broncos had him as a first round pick, and so he was a first round pick.
Exactly. And so if the same thing happens with Quinn Ewers, it's going to be a great decision. It gets you to your second contract quicker, which is where the money like really, really is in NFL football. Obviously, with the quarterback position, just me personally, I would even consider him like as a round two quarterback. I don't even know about
round draft three. Him as a backup.
Yeah.
And see if I can develop him.
I hope I'm wrong. Southlake fans, Quinn Ewers people, I hope I'm wrong. I don't think he can play a down in the NFL.
Okay.
I have no clue what he does on watching him play. He's a good college quarterback. He's slow. He's small. He gets injured. He doesn't throw the ball hard, barely ever. Doesn't fit it in the tight windows. And I get that that's the system that Sark has there. He gets guys open and in a bunch of lob passes or screen passes. I just have not seen anything, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope he's the next Tom Brady. But I can't figure out what he does in the NFL that is considered good.
And then somebody did ask this question. The only pricing structure I see for now is the year-long to stream the Rangers at $100. I wouldn't be surprised if they came out with month-by-month or even micro game-by-game packages. I just haven't seen that just quite yet. And as Evan Grant said, this is the first step. So I'm sure we'll hear more. We're the KNC Masterpiece.
60 cents a game. What if I sold you that for that?
Yeah, because then it would come out to the same price.
Fish used to do that. For a month, you can get your donuts for...
cheaper than a cup of coffee. Yeah.
I always like that.
Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Masson.
All right, we look at which teams are likely to repeat as division champs in 25 next.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Time for some Baseball Nuggets with Mike Masick.
Let's jump into it. Who's most likely to repeat as division champs in Major League Baseball in 2025? The easy one, and they said this is leaps and bounds above everybody else who won their division last year. It's the LA Dodgers.
Yeah.
They were 98-64, five games over the Padres, and they just talk about, hey, they won the World Series, this and that, and guess what? Suzuki in the next probably... Either today or next.
I was
going to
say
days.
He could sign today.
The Rangers.
I think he's going to choose the Dodgers, and I think that he has known he's choosing the Dodgers since October. But maybe I'll be surprised, and maybe he'll go to Toronto, where it's freezing cold, and they're going to finish either last or second to last in their division.
I was going to throw out the other team. If for some reason he picked the Padres,
it'd make a little bit more sense to me.
And does that change your slam dunk division rating? Not yours, but does that change the slam dunk divisional ratings?
I'd have to more look into the Padres. Okay. I get that they last, it just shows you they were only 5 games back of the Dodgers, but Shohei's going to pitch this year.
Yeah.
Yamamoto, I do think, and here's the deal, I don't think Sasaki's going to be great this year. I think it's very tough to go from Japan to the United States. I get it was easier for Colby Lewis. He had grown up in the United States. He grew up in the minor league system. He was pitching every fifth day for the Rangers, struggled, went over to Japan, and came back. I can see when that happens and guys immediately come back and they're like, got it figured out now.
Yeah.
I figured out my stuff in Japan, and I know what it's like to go through a major league schedule. I know the major league cities. I know the major league mounds. I know all these things. Think of Yamamoto last year. Was he good? He was good, but he was limited.
Yeah.
Yu Darvish was good for the Rangers to start off. He was very good. So was Hideo Nomo, but for the Dodgers way back in the early 90s. But I think Sasaki's going to be a solid pitcher next year, but I also think it's a different ball. It's a different strike zone. There's a lot different that you have to deal with. So if he goes to the Padres, it helps out the Padres, but I wouldn't. I just think the Dodgers are going to run away with that division. It's a very tough division because the Diamondbacks are good too.
Yeah.
All right. And you have to remember they ended up getting Corbin Burns.
That's a good point.
With Zach Gallen. Gallen.
Go ahead and say Gallen. It works.
If you take him and you take Burns, if they were to make the playoffs, the Diamondbacks, watch out.
Yeah.
That's arguably the best 1-2 combination, you know, pitching tandem right now if you're looking at teams in baseball.
Let's start number two, rivalry with them.
This is where we go to, I can't believe this, the AL West. They say the Astros, who are 88-73 and 3.5 games over the Mariners, are the second most likely team to repeat as division champs.
And I don't know about all that.
I don't like it, but they pretty much just get into the history how they've owned this division for about a decade now.
Okay.
And they said this: if there's ever a year when we only have one team successfully defend its division title, it might be this one. As the gap on this list between the Dodgers and everybody else is rather dramatic. So when I'm reading that, I'm like, you say it might be this one, but then you keep reading, and I guess they're saying the Dodgers might be the only team that repeats as division champs. But they had to say, in my personal predictions, the Dodgers are, in fact, the only team I have repeating as champs, but we'll get into that over the next few weeks. The best way to illustrate this is that you can make legitimate argument that the next most likely division champ is the team that lost Kyle Tucker and almost assuredly Alex Bregman this offseason. So he's already putting doubt that the Astros can do this. They did lose two guys that bat in their top four. If I have their lineup right, Altuve, Bregman, Alvarez, Tucker. And sometimes it'd get switched up because Tucker and Alvarez are both lefties. Maybe it went Alvarez 2 and Bregman 3, if I'm trying to remember right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, two of their top four hitters are one's already left the team. And then they're saying, look, most likely it sounds like Alex Bregman isn't coming back. And I do think Alex Bregman was a big team leader there. That says more about the rest of the AL West than it does the Astros, given the Mariners have been surprisingly idle. The Rangers have serious bullpen questions. I agree with that, unless they sign Kirby Yates.
Does that eliminate like a ton of your bullpen questions then?
Yeah.
Like if that happens.
I think everything sets up right. Now, Kirby Yates had the best year of his career last year.
Sure.
He's been, I believe he was an all-star one other time in his career. So I'm not saying he hasn't been really good in his career. Last year was a career year. Do I expect him to have an ERA in the ones and almost be perfect on saves? No, but what if next year he has an ERA of 2.65 and he's 33 of 38 in save opportunities? I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take that in a heartbeat, and that does not get close to what he did last year, but that gives you a chance to win the division. So it just says Yordan Alvarez, Jose Altuve are still there. The Astros look weaker than they have in a while, but so does the rest of the division. So that's what they say about the AL West. I was shocked that the Astros, who I do think the Mariners on paper always look good on paper,
yeah,
and they always disappoint. The Rangers,
agreed.
They won 90 games the year before. This year, they won 78 games. I get you just don't go, well, the Rangers are going to get back to 90 wins. I don't know. And if they go into the year without a closer, good luck trying to win 90 games. They did it before by piecing together random people at random times to randomly close 48% of their games.
What a disaster that was.
Isn't it amazing when you really think about it? How in the world did they win 90 games with a bullpen that was under 50% in save opportunities?
Yeah.
That just sounds impossible. Even if you take the if the Dodgers this year blow 52% of their save opportunities, the Padres or Diamondbacks will win that division, I think.
How many save opportunities were there?
I'd have to look because
that could be it. Like maybe
it
they
does
just
go into the seventh inning, right?
Okay, gotcha.
If you're up by three or less and you're in the seventh inning, let's just say it's 3-2 going into the top of the seventh, and your guy gives up a solo home run and it's 3-3 after seven. That is a blown save. Does that because you have the opportunity to save a game from the seventh, eighth if you pitch all three innings. So there is that can you can take into account. It's just not the ninth inning of being up by 1-3 runs. But when you add it all, I don't even care. Like if you blow 50% of those opportunities, you're in bad shape.
Yeah. I think the Rangers were the first team in history to have than 70 wins. Let alone make the playoffs.
Yeah. Yankees are the third most likely team. They were 94-68. They were three games over the Orioles. The Orioles are fascinating to me how they've decided to not build upon what they have. Making the playoffs back-to-back years. Having Gunnar Henderson, I think Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman make a combined $2 million next year.
And when you use fascinating in this sense, it feels like you mean in a very bad way.
Yeah, I don't get. They have an opportunity. They got new ownership. Everybody knew with old ownership, they were screwed, and they better hurry up and win with these young guys while they're under somewhat league minimum contracts. But once they got new ownership, I thought they were going to try to build around these guys, at least for the next 3 to 4 years where, hey, we don't have to pay. Gunnar Henderson, when he becomes a free agent, Gunnar Henderson will get a Juan Soto contract. Might even more. Because maybe inflation is there with that. Adley Rutschman, no. But Adley Rutschman's probably, and last year was a bad year for him, but he's probably going to get $30 million a year.
Yeah.
Jackson Holliday, very disappointing rookie year. But, I mean, they have a lot of hope for him. There's still a lot of hope for Jackson Holliday. So they have a lot of guys making, not a lot of money. The Brewers are number four in the Central. The Guardians are number five in the AL Central, which, gosh, that's the one that probably has the most best teams in the American League now.
I gotcha.
The most best. I like it.
Understood.
The Royals and the Tigers both making the playoffs. They had three teams make the playoffs last year.
I would not have predicted.
I'm surprised with this because I still think they're a great team, but I get their competition. They have the last team to repeat as division champs would be the Phillies at 95-67 over the Braves and the Mets. Think about how – now, I can see the competition there. Braves, Mets, Phillies, good luck. That is a tough division, and there's a good chance all three teams, if they're somewhat healthy, all make the playoffs. But it's interesting because I think the Phillies can win the World Series this year. I'm not predicting them to, but I think they can. I don't think the Guardians have a chance of winning the World Series. I don't think the Brewers have a chance of winning the World Series. I'll give the Yankees a chance. They did get Max Fried, so if they get into the playoffs and they're both completely healthy and pitching great, fair. Gerrit Cole and Max Fried could be real trouble. But and to be honest, I don't see the Astros winning the World Series either.
Okay.
So
we're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Excellent edition of Baseball Nuggets. Coming up next, power ranking the NFL and quarterback playoff power rankings. Next on The Fan.